Let's turn again, please, in God's Word to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And I want to draw your attention to what we read at the end of verse 5 into the verse 6. Revelation 1. And at the end of verse 5, we read these words. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's just seek the Lord together in prayer and ask the Lord to come to speak to your hearts even through his word today. Father in heaven, we thank thee even for these verses we have read earlier. We thank thee for these words we have just read. And we thank thee for the revelation of our Savior, what he has done for his people. We pray today as we consider the Lord Jesus, that each of us who are saved, that we might be conformed more to his image, that we might become more like him. As we look into thy word and see him, we do pray today for those that are out of Christ, that they might see the Savior as he is revealed, even in this portion of Scripture, that they might realize their need of him, that even today they might be brought to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We thank thee for the Savior, and we thank thee that he's able to meet the spiritual need of every soul. And we pray today that even for this time we'll be shut in afresh with thyself, and that we will see him who is altogether lovely. So hear and answer our prayers. We ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. This final book of the Bible is, of course, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is true that from Genesis to Revelation, that the Word of God reveals Jesus Christ to us. But this final book of the New Testament has the very title, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And so as we read through this final book of the Bible, the Lord Jesus continues to be revealed to us in his person and in his work as the only mediator between God and man. The one who came into this world as the only Savior of sinners, the one who is coming back again as the judge of the quick and the dead. And the Apostle John, who penned the words of this final book of the Bible, informs us in the opening verse that this revelation of Jesus Christ was given by God unto his Son to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And how the Savior sent and signified this message by his angel unto his servant, the Apostle John. And John, according to verse 2, bore record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, of all things that he saw, all that was revealed to him. He penned here in this final book of the Bible. The verse 3 declares a blessing for all who read the words of this prophecy. Not only a blessing to those who read these words, but those who hear these words, and those who keep the things that are written therein. There is a blessing, of course, to be gained from all of the Word of God. But there is this particular blessing set before us concerning those who read and hear and keep what is written in this final book of the Bible. We discover also that in verse 4, as John addresses the seven churches in Asia, that he gives that greeting of grace and peace from the eternal God. And of course, it is only by grace that we can know God personally. It is only by grace that we can be saved. It is only by grace that we can know peace with God and experience that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And John declares that this grace and peace comes from God in his three persons. We're reminded, of course, that God is eternal. He is the one which is. He exists in the present. He's the one which was. He has always existed from all eternity. And he's the one who will always exists. He's the one which is to come. We read, yes, not only of God the Father, but of God the Holy Spirit. There is only one Holy Spirit, of course. He's referred to as the seven spirits which are before the throne because of the perfection of his person and of his graces. And then the Lord Jesus, who we usually refer to as the second person of the Godhead, he is mentioned in the final place there in verse 5 because he is the one that is going to be focused in upon in a very particular way in what we're reading in this final book of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ there in verse 5, he is described as the faithful witness, the faithful witness. Matthew Henry, the commentator, said that the Lord Jesus, with regard to being the faithful witness, that he was from eternity a witness to all the counsels of God, and that he was in time a faithful witness to the revealed will of God. And he went on to say, upon his testimony, we can safely depend, for he cannot be deceived, neither can he deceive us. But the Lord Jesus is revealed not only as the faithful witness, but as the first begotten of the dead, the first one to die and rise, never to die again. The one who was dead, but is alive, and he is alive forevermore. He's also revealed as the Prince of the Kings of the earth. For he, of course, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, one of the commentators declared, from him the kings of the earth have their authority. By him, their power is limited and their wrath is restrained. By him, their counsels are overruled and to him, they are accountable. What a glorious person then the Lord Jesus is. The one who is revealed to us again in this final book of the Bible. And I want us to come, as I've indicated, to what John wrote there at the end of verse 5 into verse 6. As he reveals the Lord Jesus to us. As the Lord Jesus was revealed to him. What he penned. What he declared in those words as he said of the Lord Jesus unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We want therefore to consider today a revelation of the Lord Jesus. And I want us to think in the first place about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the Apostle John, and he says unto him that loved us. What a thought that Jesus Christ should love a sinful people. The Lord Jesus Christ loves his people with an everlasting love. It is a love that is undeserved. It is a perfect love. And of course, the Word of God has so much to reveal to us concerning the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. And the Apostle John, who penned this final book of the Bible, of course, he also penned the Gospel of John. And in that particular Gospel, he sets before us, as he records even the words of the Savior, so much concerning the love of the Lord Jesus. We may think of the Apostle Paul, who, when he wrote to the Galatians, he referred to the Son of God who loved me. What a thought that the Son of God should love Saul of Tarsus. What a thought that the Son of God should love the Apostle John. What a thought that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, should love me. What a thought that Jesus Christ should love you. As I've said, as you read through the Gospel of John, you will discover the Lord Jesus himself revealing something of his love to his people. And if you turn just for a moment over to John's Gospel, you will find, first of all, in John 15, in verse 9, something that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples with regard to his love for them, his love for all his people. John 15, and the verse 9, as the Lord Jesus addresses the disciples, he says to them, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And what a statement that is. First of all, the Lord Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me." And of course, we know that God the Father loves his Son with a perfect love. It is no surprise that God the Father, who is perfect and sinless, should love his Son, who is perfect and sinless, with a perfect love. But the Lord Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." What a thought that is. That the love which God the Father has for God the Son, that God the Son should love us who are undeserving as his people with that same love. The Lord Jesus cannot love his people more than he loves them. Nor will he love us less than he loves us, for he loves us with a perfect love. You know, just a few pages back in John chapter 13, and the opening verse of that chapter, John records, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father." Listen to these words. "Having loved his own, which were in the world." His own people still in the world. His own people who had failed him. He loved them unto the end. And that doesn't mean, simply as it might seem on the surface, that he just loved them to the end of his time here upon earth. No, it means that he loved them to the uttermost, continually. He could not love them any more than he loved them. What a love the Lord Jesus has for his people. back there in chapter 15 of John. And in those familiar words in verse 13, the Lord Jesus emphasizes the great love that he has for his people. It's not just a love that's stated, but of course, it's a love that's demonstrated. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. The Lord Jesus, by laying down his life on the cross for the salvation of his people, he demonstrated what a great love he has. The love of Christ then is revealed to us. John is saying unto him that loved us. And of course, to be loved by the Lord Jesus is a great blessing and privilege. But it brings great responsibility with it, because the Lord Jesus here in John 13, in verse 34, as he spoke to those disciples whom he loved, this is what he said to them. John 13 and 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. It's so easy, isn't it? Well, maybe someone has wronged us. They may be a brother or sister in Christ, and we may say they don't deserve our love. But do we deserve the love of Christ? As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The hymn writer penned those words, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me, it is so. Well, if you're saved this morning, rejoice that you can say with the Apostle John here in Revelation 1 and 5, unto him that loved us, unto him that loved me. As we've also referred to what Paul said, the Son of God loved me. Maybe today you're not saved. And maybe the love of Christ for his people doesn't mean very much to you. But you know, as you reject Christ and reject the salvation that is offered to you in the gospel, you reject his love. Remember that man that we read about in Mark chapter 10. He's become known as the rich young ruler. And he came to the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 10 and the verse 17. And he came running to the Lord Jesus. And he kneeled down and he asked the Lord Jesus, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus began to engage this man in conversation. And it's clear as you read the conversation that took place that this man, well, he thought he had kept the commandments. He thought he was good enough in himself. And when the Lord Jesus challenged this man really concerning the particular sin that was keeping him back from turning from sin and trusting in Christ, the Lord Jesus in verse 21 said to him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. You see, this man's possessions were more important to him in reality than following Christ. We're told he was sad at the saying. This man, he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. But at the beginning of verse 21, we're told then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Was he not then rejecting the love of Christ? The Word of God says that those who love not the Lord Jesus, let them be anathema, let them be accursed. And we cannot love Christ unless we turn from our sin. trust in Him for salvation. And then, of course, we can say that we love Him because He first loved us. Can you say today with John here in Revelation 1, verse 5, unto Him that loved us? What does the love of Christ mean to you? The hymn writer said, the love that Jesus had for me, it's more than tongue can tell. And as the Lord's people, we can always love Christ more. He can't love us any more than He loves us, but we can love Him more. We can demonstrate our love for Him more. But very quickly, when you come back here to Revelation 1, not only do we see the love of Christ, but I want you to think about the blood of Christ. Because John here in chapter 1, in these verses 5 and 6, he says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The Lord Jesus does not just love in word, but He loves in deed. He demonstrates His love. And it was the love of Christ for His people that took Him to that cross at Calvary to be obedient unto death, to shed His blood, to suffer in His soul the wrath of God for our sins, to lay down His life, and of course to take it up again. And once again, the Apostle John, as you read through his gospel, he takes us to the cross. He takes us to the place where the Lord Jesus shed His blood to wash us from our sins. And yes, we can think of the nails piercing His hands and His feet, the blood that flowed. But of course, in John 19 and verse 34, when John records how the soldiers came to break the legs of the Lord Jesus and the two others that were being crucified, that in John 19 and 33, when they came to the Lord Jesus and they saw He was dead already, they break not His legs. And in verse 34, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And how much the Word of God has to say about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter reminds us that we're redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Word of God declares that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission, no forgiveness. And yet the blood has been shed. In Hebrews chapter 9, and the verse 14, the verses 13 and 14, there's a contrast drawn between the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And there in Hebrews 9 and 13, we read, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Paul could say of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how John then could say, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The Lord Jesus is being revealed to us as the one who loves His people, the one who has washed His people from their sins in His own blood. You know, when Paul spoke to the elders at Ephesus, he spoke of how Christ had purchased the church with His own blood. And as you even continue through this book of Revelation, you know, in chapter 5 and verse 9, as John had that insight into heaven, There he saw God's people in Revelation 5 and 9, and he could write, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." They're singing to Christ, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Every individual that will end up in glory will have this in common: having been redeemed to God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well then, does the hymn writer ask the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When we consider our Savior, when we remember him even around the Lord's table, we remember that he shed his blood to wash away our sins. There's something to rejoice in this morning, child of God. Christ has loved you, and he has washed you from your sins in his own blood. You know, Paul could say, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What a Savior is revealed to us, but maybe you're not saved today. Even the hymn writer would ask that question: are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, today you need to wash and be clean. You need to turn from sin. Trust in Christ and what he accomplished on Calvary if you are to be cleansed from your sins. But very quickly, John also reveals to us the people of Christ. He says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Oh, what the Lord Jesus has done for us by the shedding of his blood to cleanse us from our sins, to forgive us. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. We shall reign with the Lord Jesus. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. We have access to God through the Lord Jesus. And while the Lord Jesus was the only one who, as our great high priest, could offer up himself as the sacrifice for our sins, we can offer the sacrifices of praise unto God. We can offer prayer to God. Peter reminds us in his letter that we are a royal priesthood. We're a holy priesthood. We've been made kings and priests unto God. And someday, as kings, we shall cast our crowns at the feet of our Savior. Remember back there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, when Hannah was praising God for what God had done for her, what he does for his people. There in 1 Samuel chapter 2, in the verses 7 and 8, this is what Hannah said: "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust." And we were in spiritual poverty in our sin. "And lifteth up the beggar." We were spiritual beggars from the dunghill. "To set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." And when we think of inheriting the throne of glory, we're reminded we're kings and priests unto God. We have great spiritual riches. We have great spiritual privileges. Oh yes, we have our great high priest. But we are priests and kings unto God. Can you say that you're one of the people of Christ? Can you say you've been washed in the precious blood? Can you say you're a king and a priest unto God? If not, you need to turn from sin today. You need to trust in Christ for cleansing. And then you'll be able to say also in these words, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We are to live for the glory of the one who has loved us and washed us from our sins and made us what we are before God. So we finish this morning, and in the will of the Lord, we'll come tonight to consider verse 7. But just as we conclude today, having uttered these words, the Apostle John, concerning Christ, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Then he says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. This one who came out of love for his people, this one who came and lived that sinless life and went to the cross and shed his blood and laid down his life and took it up again and ascended back into heaven, and whoever lives to intercede for his people, the one who's able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, he's coming again. If we're saved, we can look forward to that day. And we should live every day in the light of that day. But if you're not saved, what a terrible day that will be if you're still out of Christ. This very book of Revelation in chapter 6 speaks of those who will say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? You're only able to stand if you're in Christ, washed in the blood, forgiven. Why not come, trust in Christ today? May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let us just bow in prayer as we bring our service to a close and ask the Lord even to hide his word in our hearts today. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for how he is revealed to us right throughout the written word of God. We thank thee for how he's revealed to us in this final book of the Bible. And we pray today that each one of us who are saved, that we might with humility and yet with joy, even today, say unto him that hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory forever and ever. Amen. May we live to bring glory to thee. May this be our chief desire, to glorify thee and to enjoy thee forever. Lord, for those that are out of Christ, may they realize the urgency of turning from sin, trusting in Christ for salvation. So speak on to us through thy word today. Separate us now in thy fear. With thy blessing we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.